Welcome to the Motoring Podcast. This is episode 99 on Tuesday, the 4th of April, 2017. Hello, I'm Alan, and I'm all alone this week. Yes, Andrew is away doing important, super top secret stuff that if I tell you about it, I'll get shot. Or something like that, anyway. But anyway, he's not available to be with us tonight. So, just quickly, what's going to be on the show? Uber versus Waymo, a bit more on that coming up. Maddox Yellow is now a thing. Tesla is now worth more than Ford and or GM. And there's going to be a daily toxin tax, according to our government. Anyway, let's head straight in to the follow-upers. A whopping two pieces this week. So first up is the aforementioned Uber versus Waymo. We talked about this before. This is where ride-sharing company Uber has been taken to court by Waymo, the self-driving car part of Alphabet, which used to be Google. It's all very complicated. Uber's program director, a chap called Anthony Lewandowski, who went basically straight from Google to Uber, and there are about 11,000 missing files from Google's servers, which is all a little bit suspicious. The judge in this case that was brought by Google, by Waymo, would like Anthony Lewandowski to testify. He is pleading the Fifth, as in the Fifth Amendment, so as not to self-implicate, because if he does, it seems there is a fear from his lawyer that he could then be holed up on criminal charges, and he doesn't want to do that. If you want to read up more on that, then we've got links in the show notes to stories from Jalopnik and Bloomberg. If you want to be an expert in US law, I have absolutely no desire, and over the last 18 months have found that I know far more about German contract law than is strictly healthy. Next piece of follow-up, which I guess ultimately good news. There was a car rally at the weekend when 100 yellow cars descended on the village of Bybury near Cirencester in the Cotswolds. And this was to show solidarity, support for the retired 84-year-old dentist Peter Maddox, who had his yellow Vauxhall Corsa parked outside his own house in the village, vandalised by people saying it was ugly because it got in the way of tourists taking pretty pictures of the pretty Cotswold village of Bybury. Anyway, this was widely condemned by just about anyone with a pulse, including ourselves. A chap from Coventry organised this rally of 100 cars. More people wanted to join, but they did limit it to 100 for obvious and clear reasons. And that took place at the weekend and was a great success. Covered by pretty much all the news outlets, so I'm pretty much certain that you knew all about that. There'll be a link to the BBC story in the show notes. One last thing, and this is the thing that really cheered me up and I really thought was absolutely fantastic, is that Vauxhall showed their support as well. And what they've done is they've renamed the colour corresponding to code 40Q, which used to be called Melon Yellow, to Maddox Yellow in support. So I think that I really, really hope that is followed right the way through, because I think that's a fantastic thing for a manufacturer to do. Dead easy. But yeah, really shows that they actually care about that kind of stuff. Anyway, happily into new news. The first new car factory, essentially, in the UK has been built after about 10 years, well, it's the first new car factory in 10 years to have been built in the UK, and it's been built in Warwickshire by the London Taxi Company. You'll never guess what they build. Could be taxis, possibly. As I said, they're owned by Chinese manufacturer Geely. If you wonder why we sometimes mention Geely, it's because they also own Volvo, as well as having a number of partnerships with many European car manufacturers who build and sell in China. They have invested £300 million in this new plant near Annecy, near Coventry, and they're hoping that that's going to mean that they can build up to about 20,000 vehicles there a year, and bring about 1,000 jobs to the factory as well. Going to be building a new taxi model. This is good from my point of view, especially if you've listened to me rant and rave about the particulates from London taxis. And that's because from the 1st of January 2018, all new London taxis registered or sold. Well, it's not a London taxi unless it's been registered. All new London taxis registered will have to have at least 30 miles of zero emission running. To do that, London Taxi Company have come up with a new model. And that new model has a new lightweight body structure, which means that London Taxi Company are going to become Geely's lightweight body structure expert globally. So they'll share their knowledge and their learning from this with Volvo, with other companies within Geely, other brands within Geely. Drivetrain is going to be derived from a new Volvo range extender hybrid using a 1.5-litre three-cylinder petrol engine, I believe, which will actually be built in China and then installed into the taxis in the Warwickshire plant. These new taxis, by the way, new taxis will have, as I say, at least that 30-mile EV range. The idea is they're probably going to need one charge a day to cover that whole 150 to 200 miles that London taxis do each day. So this is a good thing on a number of levels, from the economic point of view, from the factory and building that, and from our engineering skills here in the UK, but also very much in the centre of London. That's one more pretty awful source of particulates, which hopefully will be lessened. I don't know the timescale for phasing out the diesel engines in the existing models. Next up is that as of today, Tesla is more valuable than Ford and or General Motors, depending on who you read. Tesla shares rose by 7% when they recorded their quarterly figures earlier on today. They have delivered 25,000 cars in the first quarter of 2017, which is up 70% on the equivalent last year. Just in case you're wondering, at the close of trading, Tesla was worth $49 billion off the back of that. I'll let you work out how much that is per car. And Ford is worth $46 billion. I'm not sure about numbers for GM right at the moment. This is paper valuation, really, and this is down to those terrible things called analysts. None of us really quite understand what it is they do, and what it is that they're basing some of these numbers on. And of course, this is that in turn affects the share prices. As I say, 7% rise today. It doesn't really. And it's based on growth. I mean, that's 70% growth in a quarter is really, really impressive. But I'll be very interested to see just how that continues over the rest of the year. I imagine that in 3 months' time, many of us and many of the reporters will have kind of forgotten about today, and we'll see how it goes. Other things to look out for are, remember, the delays on the Model 3. That's meant to hit That's meant to hit production in July. As yet, there has been one. It wasn't called a prototype. I think they called it a pre-release. A prototype. Oh, God. Might as well use the proper words. Prototype are running around on the roads. So be interesting to see just how that goes. Let's hope fit finish is better than that on every single Tesla Model X door that I see photographed. Because they're always off. They're always wonky. I'm sorry. I'm going to need quite a lot of persuading that Teslas are worth the type of money that's being charged for the quality of what's being built. I'm sorry, I've just turned that into a Tesla rant, and I really didn't mean to. But sometimes it just happens because I don't have Andrew looking at me in a disapproving fashion this week. Coming off, I said, last year, Tesla shipped 76,000 cars globally. Ford, worth $3 billion less on paper, shipped 6.7 billion. I kind of know where I'd put my money if I was someone who invested in stocks and shares. Meanwhile, we come to that point in the show, and you'll notice that it is really very much quicker than normal this week, just because there is only me, to ask you, to remind you, first of all, about our Audible offer. Audible is the audiobook service from Amazon, and Amazon is offering you a 30-day free trial of their One Book monthly membership. During the trial, you'll receive one free monthly credit to be applied to any of the over 200,000 titles in their store and receive all the benefits of being a member within those 30 days. You may cancel at any time during the trial period, and if you do cancel, the audiobook remains yours to keep. When the 30-day trial period ends, memberships will automatically renew at Audible's full rate of £7.99 a month. A huge saving over the purchasing of even a single audiobook. To try Audible for yourself, go to motoringpodcast.com/support and click on the Audible graphic to subscribe via Amazon. This week, I haven't read any new Audible books. Any new Audible books. I've actually finished off Street Smart. The Rise of Cities and the Falls of Cars by Samuel I. Schwartz that I talked about last week, which really was interesting, by the way. Great chapter towards the end, all about his views on autonomous vehicles and self-driving vehicles and how they may not be the solution to reduce urban congestion. He bases his opinions on that on a number of things, not least of which is a career of 30 plus years in traffic management, and he was the traffic commissioner for New York City for quite a while. He has his own his own consultancy now, Sam Schwartz Engineering, helping other people try to reduce the impact of cars on their roads. What else do I have queued up? What else have I been listening to? Well, here on the Magic Phone, what's waiting? One of the ones that I enjoy dipping in and out of, because it's not just audiobooks that are available via Amazon. There's also lots and lots of radio series from the BBC, from other suppliers as well. And one of the ones that I enjoy popping in and out of is Yes Minister and Yes Prime Minister by Anthony Jay and Jonathan Lynn. It's amazing. When you can't see their out-of-date telephones, it's amazing just how pertinent that still is. And it's great. We all know them. I don't know about you. I used to have these on cassette. Okay, I used to have these on cassette audiobooks. I think I still do. And to be able to listen to them again without having to lug rattly cassettes around and find that I can't use them in any of my cars is quite a luxury. So yeah, I can absolutely recommend Yes Minister and Yes Prime Minister from the BBC. And again, instead of paying, I think these are about £20 for that set. which is one of your monthly credits at $7.99. So please, please, please do give that a try. If not, if you've already got an Audible subscription, then or just want to buy that particular audiobook, I'll make sure that the link to that is in the show notes. Worth doing it in the show notes, by the way, because it's a link that means we get something back. I'm sure you've sussed that one by now. As I said, to try Audible for yourself, go to motoringpodcast.com/support and click on the Audible graphic to subscribe via Amazon. If you're interested in promoting your product or service via the Motoring Podcast, then please do get in touch. Contact details, as ever, will be at the end of the show. Just because I have pestered you about Audible, of course, doesn't mean that I'm not going to ask you to take a few moments to tell a friend about Motoring Podcast and Rear View, and to leave a star rating and review for us via the podcast playing platform of your choice. The most popular and powerful podcasting platform of all is iTunes, so a 5-star rating on there is hugely influential. But on other podcast apps such as Stitcher, Pocket Cast, Downcast, Overcast and the like, a rating still means a lot, so thanks in anticipation. Okay, moving on from that. As we warned you last week, the weekend just passed was a Formula E E-Prix weekend. Last weekend was in Mexico. And I confess here and now, which is why this is going to be short and sweet, that I didn't actually get a chance to see it. I'm sorry, I had this terrible thing called trying to be sociable. I don't do it very often, but I was actually doing it on Saturday. I watched the summary on YouTube, and frankly, it was such a nuts race that the highlights didn't really make much sense. Completely honest, didn't really make a huge amount of sense. And most of that was because just so much was going on. Most notable of all, of course, is that Luca de Grassi of the Adisport ABB team went from last to first on the grid. And that was despite having to stop on his third lap for a replacement rear wing after it got knocked off in the first couple of corners. Looked absolutely crazy. It was just really good racing and sort of more, more overtakes in a Formula One season. That's not quite true, but it certainly feels that way whenever you're watching Formula E. So as ever, I really, really, really have to recommend it as a quality motorsport. Some people complain that the noise isn't to their liking. I think we're all going to have to get a bit used to that in this day and age. It's just what's happening. Anyhow, the final positions on there were third for Virgin Racing with Sam Bird, so congratulations to him. Second was Jean-Éric Vergne from the Tichita team. First, of course, was Lucas de Grassi from the Adisport ABB team, as I've said. Worth mentioning that Jaguar got their first points finish as well. Mitch Evans was fourth for them. So that's always good news. It's always nice to have. It's always nice to have a British team doing well. Although given so much of Formula E is British, it's once again a fine sign of British engineering, and I will stop being quite such a blowhard on that all the time at some point. One last note on Formula E. It turns out that, and this is very much according to Black Flag and Jalopnik, it turns out that our favourite CEO, Sergio Marchionne, made headlines this week after declaring that Ferrari needs to get into Formula E. He said, as quoted by Autosport, "We need to be involved in Formula E because electrification via hybridization is going to be part of our future. Hybridization is crucial to Ferrari. There's no denying that regulation puts under pressure and we could reach those targets in other ways. Goes on and on and on because it's Sergio. When Jalopnik got a chance to speak to Alejandro Agag, the sort of head honcho, really, the man who's behind the vision of Formula E, how any discussions were getting on with Formula E, his response was, "I don't know. They said it yesterday, right? They haven't told me." And he pointed out that it wasn't the first time that Mr. Marchione has made those kind of remarks. He'd be delighted to have Ferrari, but maybe some people's people should get in touch with other people's people and see what happens. Of course, it's worth. I was thinking about this a little bit, and I'm amazed that the FCA really, FCA and General Motors are really two of the larger automotive groups which don't have a representation in Formula E. If you think Volkswagen does via Audi, the Audi Sport AB team, the Renault, Nissan, Mitsubishi, Rebel Alliance do via Renault and the EDAMS team. BMW doesn't yet, but is going to. Mercedes doesn't yet, but is going to, and is planned and committed from 2018 to 2021, as we talked about last week. I lie slightly, actually, because Ford doesn't, and Toyota doesn't either. Okay, I might have to revise my opinion on that one, now that I think about it, in a little bit more than I did whenever I was putting the notes together. So there's still a couple who are outstanding, but the majority of the large automakers are very much into Formula E. I'm going to stop shoveling now and move on very, very quickly. Last proper news story of this week is that today, again, it was... and I've got this from Autocar, which in turn was via the Times, and I couldn't delve into the Times report because it's behind a paywall, and I could only see a very few words at the beginning, very few words at the end, and I'm not very good at wanting to give money to certain news organisations, especially right at the moment. However, supposedly going to be announced this week is a new government initiative. Hey, that's always a good start here in the UK, which will charge £20 per day to diesel drivers entering into England's 10 most polluted cities and 35 points around the place. So if you want to go to cities including Birmingham, Derby, Leeds, London, Nottingham and Southampton, you may be charged £10 for the privilege if you have a diesel vehicle, an older diesel vehicle. It did point out in smaller letters deep in the story that newer vehicles may well be excluded from this. As I say, it's meant to be announced this week. We'll see what kind of enormous cluster that turns out to be. Because quite frankly, most of those cities I'm not really certain I would desperately want to go to anyway. So it sounds like a fantastic way of putting many people off visiting many of the UK's towns and cities. Again, it all feels very much like jumping on the bandwagon. I don't understand how they're going to go about putting in the infrastructure to do this. I don't understand how much that's going to cost. And I have a funny feeling that neither do they. So we'll see just what happens. I can't imagine it can be any slicker than the way that the 1st of April VED tax changes were implemented, to be perfectly honest. But let's see what happens. It could be that nothing's announced. It could be that something's announced, but it fritters away like many, many of these types of scheme. So, yes. We shall see what happens. Lastly, this week, of course, it is now the 4th of April, which means that we have managed to pass April Fool's Day without too many nasty things happening to us. By nasty things, I mean I mean motor manufacturer and distributors' April Fool's jokes. I read quite a lot of them this year, so I thought it was worth just picking out my favourite five. There were a lot, and I'm just going to very quickly skim over these. Might as well actually make that favourite six, because I really liked the McLaren one. McLaren went to a lot of effort with their carbon fibre feather covered, their new sort of feather covering for advanced aerodynamics based on mimicking nature on their Ranger cars. So yeah, that was a cracker. Others that I really, really liked were the Toyota UK, who were pointing out that for a very limited period, specifically April 1st, the Mirai would be available to would have an extra setting, which would mean that whilst it only it only emits water when the fuel cell is being used, that it would you would be able to choose whether it was still or sparkling water, which I thought was particularly good. BMW had the i3 Chameleon Edition, which is a BMW i3 which changed colour depending on the state of its charge. That was a nice one. Drone delivery is an ever popular one when it comes to April Fool's right at the minute. My favourite was the fact that Hyundai had expanded their click to buy service with click to fly, so you could order your car over the internet, and Hyundai would deliver it within 2 hours by drone. But and it wasn't even drone; they actually went a little bit more thought into that, and it was fuel cell powered drone, of course, to link in with Hyundai's work in that field. Piston Heads are going to be using their part of the £50 million investment from Haymarket into Autocar, Wattcar, and Piston Heads, as discussed relatively previously, to build themselves a new driving resort, which they reckoned would be just the thing for Piston Heads members. And last but not least, Bad Obsession and Motorsports, who you've heard me talk about their work on Project Binky, taking an ST183 Toyota Celica GT4 engine and drivetrain, and squeezing that under an original Isagonis Mini and the fantastic series that's going on there. They showed us how to weld a mug back together as well, which is absolutely cracking. Every pun not intended. Sorry about that, folks. So yeah, they were my favourites just there. And that pretty much brings it to the end tonight. That's relatively that's half an hour. That's going to be so that's relatively short and relatively nippy, I'm afraid. However, don't forget that between now and our normal show again next week, you can give us any feedback and share your thoughts with the show at Motoring Podcast on Twitter and Instagram, on Facebook, and on the contact page of motoringpodcast.com, the hub of all our activities. Please don't forget our Audible offer, available at motoringpodcast.com/support. And please, please leave a review and rating on iTunes or however your podcast app lets you do such a thing. As I say every single week, it really does matter. To get in touch with Andrew, search for Cracked Windscreen on Twitter. To get in touch with me, it's best to use Twitter, where I'm at AJP Bradley, Bradley. We'll both be back next week. But until then, I've been Alan Bradley, and safe motoring.